My friends in Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from his Son, who showed us such great mercy. Amen. Our reading today I'd like to consider with you is from the Gospel of St. Luke in the 10th chapter, the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." And that's that word I was telling you about earlier, splunkna. "And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back.' Which of these two do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the word of God. Please be seated. Our synodical president, Reverend Matthew Harrison, tells a story on his blog that was very eye-opening to me. And I hope it will be for you too. He was visiting in Kenya at this orphanage that was established and funded by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod World Relief and Human Care Ministries. This is an organization within our church to which we have sent a great many of our offerings. So some of our money is in this orphanage in Kenya. Here is a picture inside of the chapel in that orphanage, where the souls of these precious children are nourished by the gospel. Well, during his visit there to Kenya, one of the orphan boys approached Reverend Harrison, and there's a picture of Reverend Harrison with a couple of those orphans there. But one of those boys approached Reverend Harrison and said this. He said, "I thank God that someone has regarded us as human beings." And Reverend Harrison writes in his blog, "I never heard anything so profound." You see, before this orphanage was established, there was no one who cared about these children or that boy, or who regarded them as worth their while. But now, finally, in the name of Jesus, these children and their fellow AIDS orphans are being loved. And they're being cared for in body and nourished in spirit. And Reverend Harrison says in that blog that amidst his tears, the boy's word that most caught his attention was that word regarded. "I thank God that someone has regarded us as human beings." It is a beautiful word, isn't it? Regarded. To be regarded as a human being. In the story of the Good Samaritan that we just read, the man who was robbed and beaten and left for dead is a very icon of the human being who needs some mercy from someone. The robbers regarded him as an easy target for some quick cash. The priest and the Levite regarded him as an inconvenience and a nuisance, even though he was a fellow Jew. But it was finally a Samaritan, whom the Jews despised, who looked past all of those ancient hatreds and the borders and the labels and the stereotypes and the skin tones, and who regarded that poor man as a human being and showed him some mercy. And as always with parables, this story is not just a lesson in good morals. But this is a picture of God's amazing mercy toward us. We have been regarded by God as human beings. That is the very heart and the core of the gospel of our salvation, that God has regarded us. Let me just take a little look with you at a passage from the confessional writings from the Augsburg Confession, the fourth article on justification, it says this: "It is also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace for Christ's sake through faith when we believe that Christ suffered for us and that for his sake our sin is forgiven and righteousness and eternal life are given to us." And now here it comes. "For God will regard and reckon this faith as righteousness." So there it is again, the word regarded. It's the door to eternity. It is the most powerful, compelling, liberating force for a joyous life in God's mercy. God regards us as worth his while, even worth his own life. When he could have and should have regarded us as infidels and rebels and enemies and backstabbers and mutineers, he instead regarded us in his infinite mercy as human beings, his own creation, worth the saving. And so he sent his only begotten Son. And at the cross, the Father regarded his Son as the guilty one. The one who had to pay the price for all of our sins that were heaped upon him. And on account of his innocent suffering and death, God now regards me, you, as not guilty. For in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And now for the sake of his Son, God regards us as righteous. Not a righteousness of our own, of course. My goodness, we who struggle with our sinful nature could never claim to be righteous on our own. Every deed of ours is tainted by sin. It is not a righteousness of works of the law, but a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. St. Paul says in Romans, "And to the one who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is regarded," there it is again, "regarded as righteousness." And so God has regarded me as somebody. He regards you as somebody. There is not a living soul on this planet that he does not regard to be worth the blood of his Son. We are that precious to him. And God regards our faith in his Son as righteousness. Regard it. That word, it turns out, that glorious word is God's solution for our sin. He regards us to be just and justified. He regards us to be just as valuable as his own innocent life and his precious blood. And it's precisely at that point, when we think about how God has regarded us, that the gospel begins to melt our cold stone hearts and to change our lives. It's when it drives us then, in view of his mercy, to go and to do likewise and to act mercifully toward our neighbor. Christ's regard for us frees us to regard those around us in the same way, to care for them, to value them, to listen to them, to forgive them, to defend them, to have compassion on them, to act in mercy toward them, to regard them as human beings, to see beyond the labels, the skin tones, the prejudices, to regard them as human beings loved and redeemed by God and worth our effort. And so we come to the second of our main words, and that is the word diakonia. It means mercy. This is where we get our word deacon or deaconess. It means to serve. And it can be in the Bible a very general term, meaning any kind of service. But more often than not, it is used to refer to those concrete acts of service that we render unto our neighbor to benefit our neighbor. For instance, feeding the poor, looking out for the sick, caring for the widows and the orphans. Those things are all referred to in the scriptures as diakonia, services of mercy. It's what the church does because we have received such great mercy. That's why in this symbol for mercy, you will notice that the heart is indwelt by Christ. The cross is in the heart. And it calls to mind a phrase that we use in our culture. Have a heart. Have a heart. Have some regard for this person. As I mentioned to you earlier, in the days of Jesus, they would have said, have some splunkna. That word that means the internal organs. And that came to mean compassion, mercy, a pity that rises up from one's guts. Have some splunkna for others. Have a heart. Have some regard for that person. And be a deacon to them, a diakonia, one who serves them. St. John says in his first epistle, if anyone sees his brother in need but has no mercy, and again, there's that word splunkna, has no mercy on him, how does God's love abide in him? This is how crucial this whole matter of mercy is to a truly vibrant and living faith. If we can't show someone some splunkna, if we can't have a heart for someone, show them some mercy, then God's love is not in us. Not because our showing of mercy earns God's love, but because it's unthinkable that those of us who've received such great mercy cannot turn around and show that mercy to someone else. And so the Apostle James says, religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Again, think about our Lord. Whenever anyone cried out to him, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, did he turn away from them? Did he rebuke them? Did he ignore them or walk past them? No. Even when it was inconvenient, even when he was bone tired and would have preferred to be doing something else, even then he answered their plea for mercy with mercy. And he took some time with those people to feed them, to heal them, to console them, to defend them. And in the performance of mercy, he proclaimed to them the kingdom of God. And so it is that we as Christians, when we see someone in need or in distress, we can't ignore that person or turn away or walk past or rebuke them. But we answer their plea for mercy with mercy as best we can. It is the least that we can do, who ourselves have found mercy in the broad, wide shadow of Jesus' cross. We love because He first loved us. So now we are going to be making it our earnest goal as a congregation to be more intentional about ministries of mercy and about plugging all of you into those ministries. As a way for you to live your life in Christ, in service to your needy and distressed neighbor, to those here in the household of faith and even to all men across the globe, knowing that what you do for Jesus. So we're going to continue doing what we've been doing, supporting relief agencies like we have, the Filling Home, the Lutheran Home, the, you know, sponsoring the orphan grain train, the in-gatherings, the mitten trees, the delivering the service recordings to our shut-ins, funding our own Good Neighbor Fund, which has been a blessing here so locally, helping out with Christmas cheer, supporting Lutheran World Relief with our offerings as we have done in the past. But beyond the giving of our offerings, we want to get some more hands on deck in a ministry of mercy. And of course, the possibilities are just endless as the human need in this broken world around us. But the sheer vastness of this undertaking is also the vastness of our opportunities to show the love of Jesus in a way that is practical and real and genuine and powerful. Just these past few weeks, I hope my sister-in-law forgives me for this, not the one that's here. Our own family members were on the receiving end of some mercy after there had been some heavy rainstorms in eastern Pennsylvania. The remnants of that tropical storm Lee had come up the east coast and just poured torrential rains on them. And they had flooding, general flooding in the area, and a basement flood in their basement. And they lost almost everything in their basement. And here's what my sister-in-law said on her Facebook page. As she was talking about the cleanup process, she said, "Today was a sad day in the ongoing cleanup from our basement flood. Away went the gluey, fuzzy remnants of my notes from my Book of Acts class, my grade school grade cards, my senior homemaker project, my photos from a semester in Germany, my theology class notes, my master's diploma, sniffle, those little plastic wristbands that my boys wore in the hospital when they were born, the Easter Bunny coloring contest entries, and, oh dear, our wedding pictures." And just when all was sadness in their lives and stress, and they were feeling the loss of all of that, along came an organization called Lend a Hand there in central Pennsylvania, and they put together a team of people who came to their house and cleaned out their basement for them so that they could begin to dry out and put their home back together again. And you better believe that they were grateful for that impulse of mercy in the hearts of those who came to their aid. And they now glorify God that when most people were too busy to notice and walked on by, someone regarded them as worth the while, as human beings. And so, friends, as we retool ourselves for ministry and we refocus ourselves here at St. John, this area of mercy is going to play prominently into our plans. Look for it in the future and get plugged into it. And one day maybe, if not here on earth and perhaps in heaven, you will hear someone say to you, "I thank God that you regarded me as a human being." And when you hear those words, oh, the joy. In the precious name of our Savior, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.